the biggest principles of Tanakh is the fact that Tanakh is supposed to give us our patterns of existence.
Patterns of existence.
Patterns of existence. Which means the way things happen in Tanakh, that's the way things happen to the Jewish people, this way, that way, but and they keep on coming back again and again and again in the same patterns. Okay. There are a lot of examples for that. One of the more classical examples is when the Ramban, for instance, is explaining the Gzeiros of Paro on the Jews in Mitzrayim. So if you look at the Ramban, you just read it carefully. You think about the Jewish history in the 20th century, and you'll just go like, whoa.
In other words, what Paro did to the Jews in Mitzrayim, you mamash watch what the Nazis in Moscow did to the Jews in Germany, but the step-by-step progression.
That's what I was referring to, it's frightening.
Yes.
Yeah, and whatever, there are a lot of these things.
Permafest 1948.
No, the Ramban is, also talks about it in a different context. When he mentions the idea of Masa Avosim and Nebanim, and that's probably also the idea behind Nevuah Shenitzrachah L'Doros. Nevuah Shenitzrachah L'Doros doesn't mean necessarily a Nevuah that hasn't, that has, is yet to be fulfilled. It could be a Nevuah that already took place, but we still need it L'Doros for these kind of things. Okay. So, now, in the Megillah, there are many things. A few very, very basic things are the following. The Megillah is talking to us about how Jews survived in Galus. How did Jews survive in Galus? Basically, the Tanakh recognizes two types of Jewish history. The Jewish history in Eretz Yisrael as a, like Jews in Israel, and the Jewish existence in exile. That's so the Megillah is giving us patterns of existence of Jews in Galus. So too is Sefer Daniel, so too is the stories of Yosef and Tzadik. And Chazal mentioned that one time Rebbe would negotiate with the Romans, and whenever he was before negotiating with the Romans, he would learn the Parsha of Esav and Yaakov. One time he didn't do it, and his mission wasn't accomplished. And okay, so. So here I would like to stress a couple of things that fall under this category. Idea number one is, Jews make it very high in different governments. Now, everybody usually thinks that Mordechai became like a very chashuv guy after Esther told about him to Ahasuerus and all this. And you, but really, Milach HaTchila, he was a very important guy. It says that Mordechai Yishev B'Shar HaMelech. Now, Shar HaMelech, people don't realize in Tanakh that means he was a Supreme Court judge. There are a couple of those in America, too. And the ones in America suffer the same issue that Esther has. Do we identify with our Jewish brothers? Or do we think, we'll save our own tuchis and whatever. So Mordechai was like a Jewish extremist, as Jewish extremism can get. He makes it very clear to Esther, you know, God is going to take care of the Jews with you or without you. There's no question about that. The question is only going to be whether you and your family are going to make it as Jews? That's the question. That's what Mordechai says to Esther, and that's how he lived his own life. He lived his own life not being afraid of his own shadow, although he definitely recognized the fact that he was in Golis. So that was one deal. Another deal is the way that things may happen to Jews. I think up to the 20th century, if you would tell someone that there is a nation that wants to completely destroy another nation with absolutely no reason, people would tell you, you must be crazy. Like, this story doesn't make sense, because why would some egomaniac decide he wants to kill all the Jews? It just doesn't make sense. Well, didn't make sense, but facts don't necessarily have to make sense. Facts remain whether we understand them or not. And that's like another thing that we see in the Megillah. The Megillah is the first time that people like straight out talk about the full destruction of the Jews. Okay, that's like another thing. A third thing is, how do Jews conduct themselves in that kind of a reality? So, what do Jews normally do? Jews lobby. Jews do a lot of stuff behind the scene in order to, you know, help themselves out and this and that. And that's what Jews there did too. One of the most common questions that you're going to hear is, why is Megillas Esther not mentioned anywhere in outside sources? Well, just think about if President Obama would want to pass a bill against Israel. Okay. And Israel would do all sorts of tricks and this and that, and eventually the bill wouldn't pass. Who exactly is gonna, like, try to document that?
Opposition. But
who is Achashverosh's opposition exactly? Achashverosh is the guy that comes out pretty ridiculed. And that was exactly when Esther wants Chachamim to preserve the story. They say, what are you, crazy? You don't tell these stories. You don't tell how Jews save their skins. That gets the guy really, really upset, which it does. And she says, that's okay. I'm known in the Persian Empire, and people in the court know what's going on and this and that. So that should not be a big deal. Now, the fact that nobody finds such a thing makes actually a lot of sense, because there's no reason why anyone else would want to document such events. Now, another thing is also something which is seemingly minor, but is actually a very major thing. When Achashverosh lets Haman sign the bill against the Jews, so the bill is being presented to many nations. Vayikaru Sofrei HaMelech B'chodesh HaRishon, that's Nisan, B'shloshasar Bo Yud Gimel Nisan, V'yikatev K'chol Asher Tziva Haman El Achashverpanei HaMelech, the governors, V'elapod, the lower type of governors, Asher Al Medina U'Medina V'Al Sarei Am V'Am, the local autonomies, Medina U'Medina K'Ktava, V'Am V'Am K'Lashono. B'shem HaMelech HaChashverosh Nichtav V'Nichtam B'Taba'at HaMelech. That's what's going on. Okay, nice. Now, one thing that is a little bit not clear here was there also something in Hebrew. So seemingly there wasn't any. It was distributed in all languages, but the Jewish language and the Jewish people did not get official recognition. Now, when the counter belt was being presented, so it says in the pasuk, "Vayikaru sofrei melech ba'et ahi b'chodesh ha'shlishi, chodesh sivan b'shlosha ve'esrim bo, kaf gimel sivan, Rav Nevetzal was in Rav Chaim's home that day, started singing Purim songs, and people thought, oh, the old man really lost a couple of screws there, and he was looking at them, what? Don't you realize that it's the day that the second letters were sent? But he was just like, he just didn't understand why people were looking at him.
Nevetzal spent Shabbos at Rav Chaim's house, and he looked for the Shabbos Shabbat Brachos.
Doesn't matter.
When their grandkids got married. And they wrote stories about it. So when they're at the meal, Rav Nevetzal starts singing a Purim song for like the weirdest thing. Well, what are you singing a Purim song? Well, obviously, today's Kaf Gimel Sivan, and it's a
yeah, you know?
And Rav Chaim loved it. And Rav Chaim loved it. He loved it.
Yeah, because you know, you can see like an 82-year-old telling an 88-year-old a joke, and they're the only people that can enjoy the joke because they're the only ones that speak the language.
So
it's hysterical. That's a hysterical sight. Anyway, that's a story about this pasuk, but the continuation of this pasuk is Ve'ikatev kechol asher tzivar Mordechai le'yudim. Ela Yehudim here means about the Jews, not to the Jews. Ve'ela chashder panim, ve'apachot, this is El in the regular meaning of the word. The word El in Tanakh has more than one meaning, just, you know, general ideas. Ve'apachot, asara medinot, mehodu ve'ad kush, sheva ve'asir me'a medina, medina u'medina kichtava, ve'am kilashono, ve'el ha-yehudim kichtavam u'chileshonam. Now, the interesting thing is that if the Jews don't get recognition and they're kind of like one of the things that come back again and again in the throughout Jewish history is that the question is, do we recognize Jews or do we not recognize them to be like their own thing. Okay, so those who do not recognize the Jews to be their own thing, that is the first step that says we don't want the Jews either here or alive, doesn't matter. But the lack of recognition in the Jews is the first step to the illegitimacy that you give them, and to play with illegitimacy to the Jews, to portray them as Mr. Hammond did previously, that's like you just turn the CNN on and you just watch it live. Okay, so now in order to fix it, one of the basic struggles, political struggles the Jews have is to get recognition. A Jew without a recognition is a Jew that his life is not necessarily saved.
That's why we have the Jewish state. Like,
no, that has nothing to do with the Jewish state. It has nothing to do with the Jewish state. That is true with the Jewish state or without a Jewish state. When people did not recognize the Jews to be human beings or to have the right for whatever it is, the right to keep their religion, the right to it doesn't have anything to do with the Jewish state. The Jewish state itself has to fight for recognition. Like, because as we know, like, in places like the UN and places like that, delegitimizing the Jewish state is the first step that the Arabs always take in order to do something to the Jews. Okay? So now over here, when we're talking about how the Jews save themselves, so just think about it. What is the bill that the second bill was what? People don't realize this. First bill was the government gives you the right to kill Jews wherever they may be. Okay, that's a nice bill. You know. Okay. Now, what's the second bill? The second bill is the government allows the Jews to protect themselves. It is not something which is self-evident, as opposed to all other nations that are members in the UN that have the right for self-defense. The Jewish country does not have that as a given. The Jewish country has to always, like, fight for a right for self-defense. So over here they're giving us the pattern. You should know. That's like a big deal. Now, it's not that, Ahasuerus does not cancel the first letters. He could have just said, no, first letters are off. That was a mistake. I was being misled by this guy, by this egomaniac called Haman. But no, that's not what's going on. Why? That's an irony on the idea of law and order. We keep the law, and since we keep the law, we don't change the law, we don't retract. So if we want to do something, we have to pass, like, another law that conflicts with the first law. That's exactly what's going on. And then we let the conflict resolve itself, and then the Jews are like, oh wow, the government allows us to protect ourselves. That means the government is, in fact, on our side. Because for the Jews, that's a huge chiddush. When you're Jewish, it's a huge chiddush. So, okay, I'm being signed that we already missed Yeshiva's Mincha, so we'll have to snore a minion. We have enough people. Yeah, enough people. All right, so... But again, you should realize, whenever you learn Tanakh, Tanakh shows you the basic patterns of Jewish existence. That is the best way to understand what is going on even currently. Not just what had happened, blah, 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 blah. It tells you what's going on right now. How you conduct yourself right now. So it could be that there's no Aetzes. Well, you do this to this candidate, you do this for that candidate, but still, Tanakh is the best compass you're going to find for Jewish survival.
Mincha, it is starting in exactly 2 minutes at 1:26. Okay? Go ahead. That's very good. Yeah, go ahead. Guys, 1:26, guys.